do you read us?
Well, boys, I am right at the four-hour mark away from my destination, if you can believe it. Yeah, a little less than 4 hours.
You've almost made it. You've almost made it. How is the morale meter? Do we feel fresh as a daisy? Are we already imagining what a bed will feel like? Where are we on this?
How close are we needing a shower?
Dude, okay, for those who wanted misery, I have officially hit the wall. The wall of stink, the wall of tiredness, the wall of, like, my brain feels like that it's not slept in 2 days straight. It's a weird, weird feeling. I was telling the musers this morning, anytime you start something at 12:50 in the morning, like an event at 12:50, it doesn't make any sense to your body or your brain. And so, I'm definitely hitting a wall. And to compound things, over the last stop, we have picked up someone on our bus who is coughing guy.
Uh-oh.
Oh, and it
oh,
is
no.
Contagion. Non-stop coughing guy.
Pass him the phone.
He's weighing the, yeah, Mino. but he's weighing the back.
Is it Tim Kalashaw?
He's back there by Young Vibe, so I'm just going to let it be back there. So I wanted to play for you guys a piece of audio from earlier this morning.
Yeah.
And I have not played it yet on the radio station because I was saving it for you guys because it was amazing to run into a group of P1s at 4 a.m., that were bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. We're pulling in. Guys are holding signs up. Get off the bus and pictures. And it was an awesome scene. So immediately I go talk to the two fellas that are there. One is wearing a Roger Federer shirt, which was a nice touch.
he is one of you.
The other had a sign that said, do E-News, which Ty wanted me to do when I stopped off somewhere.
Yes.
And so here is my interview, and be prepared to stop and start it because I have some places where I want to stop it with you guys, with the two fellas, and interrupted by a third couple that joined us.
All right, we got a couple of dudes that showed up in Abilene here with signs. I didn't even say, okay, one, I too suffered from weird arm. It must be these huge nuts we have to carry around. Quality. This one, what up, bitch, with a picture of me with a mohawk. With a couple of ticket signs. I like it. Okay, what are y'all's names?
James.
James and?
Joe.
Joe. Okay. So both you guys live in Abilene?
Yes, sir.
And both of you have to go to work in a little bit?
No, actually, I took vacation. I started today, my first day of vacation.
And your first day of vacation is out here doing this shit?
Yeah, my wife is not happy.
Did you wake her up, like, or is she?
No, she knew. I tried to prolong telling her, but I told her yesterday what I was doing because she was wondering why I started vacation today. And I told her why, and she's not happy. She said, that's pretty stupid.
Well, I appreciate it. That's awesome. Okay, you guys were saying that there is, because I'd heard this too, and I was kind of worried that there's a prison around here, multiple prisons?
Two prisons. It's about 5 miles that way. One's a transfer unit, which runs through a lot of prisoners, and they drop them off all here. If you take a look at all the sleeping bags and stuff over there,
that's what that is? Like a little...
They just wait here for a long time, and they get on the bus, and then there's a maximal prison right by it. So there's two prisons real close by.
Okay, so basically the prison gives these dudes, like, that's their going away present is a bus ticket?
Yeah, pretty much. With about a dollar and a bus token, so.
And where do they go? Like, where?
Stop it there. So, the scene is, I mean, remember last year, Bob, when we were in L.A. and that tent city area?
Oh, yeah.
So, this is like a mini tent city area right at the bus station where these prisoners, they get dropped off, and they weren't there today. I'm kind of happy. But they get dropped off, and they have nowhere to go. And I don't know if they're, like, if they're using, you know, each other's sleeping bags, but they're sitting there and wait on the bus, and they kind of loiter around according to the locals. I talked to them a lot after the interview, too. Some dudes that showed up that were saying the same thing, that you know, these people have they've just become transients in Abilene, and it's like, it's sad. Like, it's really, really sad that they give them literally a bus ticket, a bus token, and $5 or something and say, okay, thank you, see you later.
They probably have to do some, like, FaceTime interviews to see where they can get a job to use their bus token and go to that city.
Jeez.
Maybe, yeah, maybe so, but it was right there in front of us, and it was, like, really, really weird to see.
I'm not going to question how they use FaceTime right out of prison, but
I'm sure they have some interviews lined up.
I like the rest of your scenario, yes. Yeah. I like the rest of your scenario. They probably give them a nice iPhone when they leave prison, too.
Prepaid.
All right, carry on.
With about a dollar and a bus token, so.
And where do they go? Like, wherever the bus is headed, they just go west?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, this scene over here.
Next stop is Midland, so.
Yeah, it's like a little shanty town at the bus stop. Like you said, there's, like, sketchy, grody sleeping areas and stuff like that.
Yeah, be careful on who you tap on the shoulder for talking to anyone on the bus.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to talk to. Yeah, my conversation has been limited at most here in the first couple of hours. Hi, are you the one that emailed me?
I emailed you last night.
Oh my God, I'm interviewing these two dudes right here. Okay. So you jump in.
Okay.
Yeah. So wait, what's your name?
My name's Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, yes. And this is the husband.
This is my boyfriend, Aaron.
Boyfriend, Aaron.
P1.
Corby. How are you?
Yeah.
So, did you guys, what time did y'all get up?
I've been up since like 2:30.
For this specific occasion?
I was just so excited I couldn't sleep. Oh, he got up at 3:30. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, you guys are crazy.
I wanted to meet up with you on your road trip.
So how far away are you?
Like 20 minutes.
Okay, so not too far?
No.
Okay. All right, that's cool. You guys are super sweet for doing this.
It's good to meet you.
Yeah, it was a hellacious first 3 or 4 hours. I was telling them there was a lot of wrecks on 30, which is a really good way to kickstart the thing. Like, first 30 minutes, there were 10 wrecks on I-30. Yeah.
It's a spicy start.
Yeah, it was dodgy. Dodgy at best. All right, well, cool. I'll stop the interview. But thank you guys, all of you, very much.
So, okay, so...
she sounds lovely.
Yes.
Yeah, she's super cute.
Sup, they were, slut.
They were all Mino? So...
Wasn't me.
Was she the caterer?
No. And then the catering couple came after that. And so, yeah, it was a whole slew of people there. But James, the first guy that I talked to, the ones with the signs, he goes, oh, I brought you a gift bag. And I'm like, okay. So in his gift bag was and he didn't know that the catering company was going to be there. He brought a sack of Whataburger, which was so nice. He brought, let's see if I can pull it open here. He brought a 24 pack of shots what's the shots, baby, that's like cinnamon whiskey.
Fireball?
Fireball, yeah. He brought a case of that, which, by the way,
24.
Was stolen. Yeah, about 20. It was stolen on one of our stops. Somebody stole the fireball, which I found very, very funny. He brought a magazine. He goes, hey, this is for your reading. And it was a magazine called Horse Illustrated.
Love it.
Yeah, he brought two or three bottles of water, and he brought a Mrs. Baird's apple pie, and some scrunchies. He brought a thing of scrunchies for my hair.
Aww.
Just in case you lost yours.
Do you wear it on your wrist?
Yeah, is it like you're going steady when you wear his scrunchie on your wrist?
But yeah, man, it was such a trip. I mean, the whole thing has just been crazy, and I'm literally like, I'm having trouble processing sentences and making sense of what I'm trying to say. But you know, it's getting dark out here out west, a little bit later than it is there, and so we still got light, and we're still headed west, and not too much time left.
What about the Greyhound swag that BTO gave you? Did you hand that out on the bus? Did that win you any friends?
I did not hand that out on the bus. I did not. So what I plan on doing, though, is getting a lot of those buses signed and sending them to the people that met us in
whatever
city.
Okay, so you got information?
Yeah. I've got cell phone numbers and things like that and emails and all that stuff. So, yeah, that is the ultimate plan for these folks.
Is that what you're doing with, like, the Barktober 2013 shirts that you took out of the promotions closet?
Right. Barktoberfest.
Charity Challenge 3. Lots of gear. All right. Well, we need you on the next segment for something called Ask Corby. Are you available? Are you free? Would you look at your day planner and see what 555 has for you?
I've got it, and I'm ready to go.
Okay. Awesome. That's next on the ticket. Right now, of course, is our friend, co-host, and frankly, the dean of the Hardline. It is Corby Davidson of the ticket. Hi, Corby.
Woof. We just stepped off the bus. We are in Lordsburg, and this is mealtime, so the bus is emptied out.
What are your meal choices?
We have Family Dollar, and we have McDonald's.
All right.
Okay.
I'm loving it.
So you got a real choice on your hands here.
For me? Are you kidding me? Wait. Here, hang on, guys. Hang on. There are people here in Lordsburg, New Mexico to say hello. You got to hear this, all right? Hang on.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can get this on speaker. You guys got me?
Gotcha.
Yes.
We read you.
Okay.
Hello, Lordsburg.
We have a little family here. Who is this?
This is Eddie.
Hi, Eddie.
Heath.
You're he?
Yeah.
And you are?
Crystal.
Crystal, and you guys live where?
Flower Mound. We were visiting her family for the past 3 weeks.
In San Diego?
San Diego. So we left this morning at 6:30.
And have you been listening, like, to where I've been going? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Holy crap. And so you knew I was in Lordsburg?
Yeah.
How long have they been waiting?
I'm looking at the, trying to figure out, like, the timing and everything.
How long have you been waiting?
Just like 5 minutes here. We,
5 minutes?
We just got gas down the road.
What perfect timing.
Oh, my God.
That's incredible.
Awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, say hi to Bob and Davey. Yeah.
Hey, guys. Safe drive back to Flower Mound.
Hey, Flower
Mound. Lordsburg.
Dude, yeah.
That's awesome.
I wanted to drive back to you guys. Okay, so that's not that far away. Okay, yeah, and then driving all the way back, like the 10, 11 hours, whatever, from there. Right on.
Hi.
Dude, it's so good to see you guys. Let's get a photo. All right, you guys chat with yourselves. I'm going to take a photo with you guys, all right?
All right, you're listening live to Corby Davidson, the most famous man we know, who is broadcasting from Lordsburg, New Mexico. He appears to be...
He has fans everywhere he goes.
Do you think he's having more fun than he thought he would?
I don't know.
He seems to be enjoying himself.
I feel like Corby gets out of bed expecting whatever, wherever he is, to be the most fun, right?
So, yeah. I mean, I'm not, look, I was in my head, as I told a lot of people, I could be nothing. You got to be positive about something like this.
Right.
It's not like I'm going to war. And so you try to make the best of it. And, you know, it kind of. It worked out where it's been, look, it ain't no day at Marineland, all right? I'm not going to act like that it's just been the greatest time ever, but it's really been, it's been a lot of fun. Like, it's been super interesting just from a cultural standpoint and a...
That's a sensitive way to say it.
You're even more woke.
I am so much more woke than I've ever been. Yeah, but yeah, getting off the bus and you're in Lordsburg, New Mexico, and there's a family of P1s here that are now trying to get their dog to pee. Yeah, it's a trip.
Are you so hashtag true. Humbled?
I am, Dave. I am definitely hashtag humbled.
So we have a list, Corby, of the top 10 things that you should expect when you ride Greyhound, and we want to see if your experience measures up with expectations. Do you want to go through this real quick?
Let's do it.
All right. So this was compiled by some dude on the internet, but I guess he has experience with Greyhound. And so these are the top 10 things that he warned you should expect. So number one is your bus will be late. But in your experience, you guys actually left early, right?
So my bus was early. Yeah, we were supposed to leave at 12:50 a.m. We left at 12:40 a.m. So that was that was a pleasant surprise because I didn't know what to expect on that front.
Okay, so maybe that went against the typical experience, but you won there.
Kind of happy Corby didn't pull in at 12:47 like it's a show meeting or something. You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Good thing.
Swing by yeah, sandwich place.
Yeah, he's getting a sandwich. Misses his bus. Number two, you will sit next to some interesting people. Now, I know that there was the Rock Hudson guy. I know there was the Santa Claus-looking guy that photobombed you and Jake at the Dallas gas station, or Greyhound station. But as far as the actual trip and the passengers on the bus, who has been the most interesting character?
I would definitely say the characters that were at the Greyhound station proper were far and away the most interesting, because the stories that those people have to tell, the backstories, I would imagine, are beyond amazing. On the actual bus, since I sat next to a P1 for half the trip, I mean, that was just a normal guy, just a normal working family man. So, but if I would have wandered, dude, you guys heard the Young Vibe interview.
Yes.
For those who missed it, there's a guy on the bus from like Greenville, South Carolina.
Yeah.
That was heading to Hollywood just on a whim. Like, he's like, I want to see if I can just make it out there. He is a young aspiring rapper / model. And he's like, I don't know anyone out there, but I'm just going. And I think dudes like that, probably that's not too uncommon for situations like this.
Was he hot?
Yeah, he's a good looking dude for sure.
All right.
Yeah.
So we might be hearing from him in the future, in his future endeavors.
So. Bobby's got such a Darius vibe. He's
yeah.
like, yeah, he goes, man, he goes, you guys got such a good vibe to you. It's just awesome talking to you and hanging with you. I'm like, yeah, you're damn right, man.
It's a good dude.
you're absolutely right, sir. So,
I'm so woke.
So in answer to your question, he has sat next to interesting people. So we're two for
no
two.
Doubt.
No,
yeah.
No, wait a minute.
One for two.
Interesting people, but the bus was on time, so
yeah.
we're in this modified scoring system. It's like one out of two.
Okay, these next two are a combo platter. Number three, the Wi-Fi on the bus won't work. And number four, only half the power outlets will work.
So power outlets all worked for all of us. No one had a complaint about that for those that had electronics. Wink. And... and then the Wi-Fi worked, but I didn't use it really. Like I it seems like no one that I saw was like streaming movies, which you can, or TV shows. You can do that on Greyhounds. But I didn't see a lot of people doing that. But it did work. Like, I logged on initially to it, but I didn't pay much attention to it after that.
You were just reading your leather bound books, right?
I was reading my Horse Illustrated.
Okay, number five, that the temperature within the Greyhound bus is either 100 degrees or freezing cold.
Check and check, yes. We were given a blanket before we got on there, even though I took my tennis blanket.
Dallas Tennis Association blanket.
So wasn't that great?
Good.
I was prepared for it to be like super, super cold, but it was actually the exact opposite. It got really, really hot. And the driver told us, he was like, if you guys have any problems, like not me, the whole bus, let me know. And so Cletus, one of the P1s, walked up there and was like, bro, it's really hot in here. And they knocked it back a little bit. But when they knock it back, like right now, the bus is freezing cold. So yeah,
there's no in between.
Exactly right. No, very
okay.
little. Yeah.
All right, the next two, another combo platter. Number six, you will have longer than advertised layovers. And number seven, you will have to get off the bus a lot. So how many stops have you had, and have they all been the scheduled time?
So we got into one snafu heading out here because there was a massive, massive 18-wheeler crash before El Paso, and that knocked us back 45 minutes to an hour. So it's no fault of the bus. I mean, like, literally, someone died on the highway.
Way to go, Bob.
Yeah.
They're unalive?
They're unalive. They're with Frank right now. But then getting off. Yeah, you get off. You don't get off on every stop, but, you know, there's 8 or 9 stops that some of them are 5 minutes, and so you stay on the bus. This one's 20 minutes for lunch or dinner, and so they literally say, be back in 20 minutes or you're off. So, yeah, you gotta maximize your time for sure.
So why do you have to get off the bus? So they can do a head count? They can clean? What's the general reason for that?
You don't have to get off. If you do get off, though, there is an allotted amount of time. And
okay.
If you're not back, they will leave.
Yeah.
All right, number 8, you won't get to your destination on time. Have you checked your tracker? Are you on time for what your ticket says your arrival is in Phoenix?
No, because of the crash, we're definitely 45 minutes behind. And I don't know. I don't know the exact amount of time that we're behind, but we're definitely behind. But it's not like when you fly, you know, it's not like there's a traffic jam in the sky. You never encounter that. So
Corby sounds like he's been bought by Big Bus.
That's true,
doesn't it? A lot of he's throwing out a lot of pro bus rhetoric right now.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
All right. Number 9, you won't get a lot of answers from Greyhound employees. It sounds like your driver, at least the first driver, seemed pretty cool, but how's your experience been with your experience at the desk and with your two drivers that you've had?
Actually, the desk has been good. Drivers have been good. They've been open to whatever, and the gate agent that I had a problem with, I didn't have a problem with the agent, but the baggage agent, I had an issue with like checking my bags in, but he was helpful too. So overall, Big Bus is winning.
All right, and lastly, the bathrooms are gross. Have you even set foot in there?
Lastly and most importantly,
yes.
I'm sad to report I have not gone in there, but I promise you when I get back on the bus, I'm going to do a full inspection of the bathroom.
Take a
you
picture
need to live
too.
Stream it.
Yeah.
I will.
Yeah, we could cover this. We could cover this live if you are interested in that sort of craziness.
If I can get back on the bus, yeah.
Okay, that might be the focal point of our weekend Sturm Center, because I see that's next on the run sheet, and boy, do I have some big plans, guys.
Yeah,
if Corby is,
I mean, we'll have to push them if Corby is going to take a tour of the toilet.
A live review of a Greyhound toilet could be featured in Sturm Center.
But it sounds like as far as you can win a Greyhound bus trip, as expected, Corby, you are winning.
I would say so. A lot of luck involved there, Dave. A lot of luck.
So much so that he's demanded to do this every year to the Super Bowl. It's very weird.
No matter where it is. Yeah.
Well, we have seen on Twitter that some P1s are floating the idea, kind of a Corby bet payoff / ticket compound hybrid, where we have the ticket Super Bowl charter bus, and we all have to ride together.
Wow. The ticket bus. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
All right. Stay right where you are, Corby. Don't you go to Phoenix without telling us. It is 6:11 on the pivoted.
Yeah, it's lit.
To the fastest skater contest. It's a big time. All right. So we have 2 segments left, and we also have a snake on a bus as Corby Davidson is not far at all from the Arizona border. Like,
he's in the home stretch.
Within the hour, he's in Arizona. Corby, do you read us?
I do. I didn't realize I was that close to Arizona, but I do see the familiar mountain ranges of beautiful Arizona in the distance.
Well, Corby Davidson joins us for this segment, which is known as
Sturm Center.
And it's brought to you by
Chattanooga Whiskey.
All right. Very good. So, Corby, we have 2 things to cover here, and I don't believe these 2 items have ever been paired together. But one is the latest from Mark Stein on the Mavericks chasing Kyrie Irving. The other is a live inspection of a Greyhound bathroom on AM radio. Which should go first?
Let's do Stein first.
Okay. All right. So Stein, Mark Stein, one of our leaders and friends of the show, has just published at his Substack, which I believe is called markstein.substack. So if you want to chase that and subscribe, I'm sure he would appreciate it, and so would we, because he's a good dude. Anyway, he covers the Kyrie thing and explains that going to free agency is a very unlikely, unattractive prospect for him, because teams that have the cap space to actually sign him are only four in the offseason: Houston, San Antonio, Detroit, and Utah. So if he wanted to get up in that 40, 45 to $48 million range, which is exactly what apparently his team is seeking. Ty, did you say four for 198?
Yes.
That's $49.5 million a year, Dave.
That's a lot.
That's enough money to make Aaron Rodgers jealous, if you can believe it. It's a lot. It's a lot. So unrestricted free agency does not appeal to somebody in that particular pay grade. And therefore, he needs a trade or for Brooklyn to pony up. Those are his two real options to get the money that he believes he's worth. And that's why we're at where we're at. Once Brooklyn sort of said, yeah, we're good, now it's can his team find a place that wants him? And, of course, as we mentioned earlier, the Lakers and the Mavericks are both the two prime candidates, one because they have LeBron and the other because they have Nico and Jason Kidd, who are both thought to be widely admired by Kyrie.
I also heard the Heat as a third destination possibility.
Yes, the third might be the Heat, or it might be Phoenix, and then the fourth, depending on whichever one finishes second there. Now for Mark's thoughts on the Mavericks. The Mavericks, sources say, have indeed contemplated the prospect of a Kyrie Irving trade since last summer, when Irving was rebuffed in his first attempt to secure a long-term deal with the Nets. All indications are that the Mavericks have confidence in Jason Kidd's coaching ability to connect with Kyrie and Luka Doncic's adaptability to play alongside another ball-dominant guard for the rest of the season, but there is no evidence yet that to suggest that Dallas is prepared to enter into a long-term relationship with Irving. How could any team eagerly do so after the constant chaos in Brooklyn for the last four seasons running? It is believed that Brooklyn would covet former Net Spencer Dinwiddie and in-demand swingman Dorian Finney-Smith in a prospective trade with the Mavericks, while Dallas would surely insist on moving off at least one of its longer contracts, whether that be Tim Hardaway or Davis Bertans, in a theoretical Irving deal. So,
it would suck to have Dorian be part of that deal, but if that's what it would take, and as Jake said, you're not sacrificing draft picks. I mean, Dinwiddie is a good player, but he would be redundant.
I bet you do have to throw in draft picks. I bet you it's two of these names.
It's a draft pick.
Yeah, I would imagine it's a couple ones and a couple of these names, and I don't know that any of that is too high a price, though, if you think Kyrie and Luka can play together for the next 4 years at a very high level, but that's the big question. What do you think about all this, Corby? You've been listening for hours about this, but I haven't really heard your thoughts.
I'm weirded out by him, the human, you know?
Yes.
He's a weird, weird, weird guy that comes with so much baggage, weird, bad baggage, and he's obviously incredible, right? But, man, I don't know. I mean, as much as everybody wants change and wants a superstar next to him, you're getting the ultimate drama queen, off-the-court weirdo, just mental. I mean, the things that he says are – I just think it may be one of those deals where you're bringing Terrell Owens – you're bringing in, you know, the best, one of the best at his positions, but you're also bringing in a nutcase that might divide the locker room. But I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Well, yeah. See, I think there's three divisions for problem guys. There's a guy like Greg Hardy that is actually engaged in violence against men or something
right.
like that. Then you have the guy like T.O. who divides a locker room. And then maybe Kyrie is the third category, which is we don't really know that he's divided a locker room, although he certainly inconvenienced all of them by his spotty attendance record for personal beliefs and so forth. We don't believe he's ever engaged in anything crime-like off the court. We just think he's a real weirdo with...
He's enigmatic.
He's enigmatic, and that does affect what he brings to a basketball team if he just decides he needs a one-month getaway because of mental health, which I believe he did last year, right? He needed a month to decompress. Meanwhile, his team is fighting for a playoff spot.
By the way, have all of these absences been paid? Oh, I guess the suspension for the retweet of the anti-Semitic stuff was not paid, but
yeah, I believe
everything else has been paid, right?
No, I believe every time he missed a home game last year, he wasn't paid for
okay.
that.
Okay, all right,
I believe so.
I mean,
I don't know. I mean, yeah. the question is twofold. One, do you want to go all in on him? And two, one of the celebrities at the NHL All-Star Game is Christopher Moltisanti's son in the White Lotus, and they just showed him on the screen. And I didn't know he ranked as a celebrity that quite to that magnitude. But
does he have a hooker well, with him?
He yeah. does not seem to have Lucia with him here.
He's judging a skills competition at the All-Star Game. I don't know that that's an A-lister job.
Anyway. So,
are we ready to look at the potty?
Yeah.
Sturm Center.
Thank you for the interstitial. We now go live to Kubi.
All right, let me restate.
Is the bus moving?
Oh, yeah, we're en route now. Yeah, we're still heading west. Very quick,
okay,
20-minute trip.
Is there a line back there?
Well, okay. Yes. But I went and took a look at it. I could describe everything to you. So the reason that I'm only 3 hours away from my destination but have not gone back there to the bathroom is because I can't remember if I told you guys this or the one of the other shows, but I was so petrified of bus bathroom that at 9 o'clock last night I did like a full-on hardcore sweat dripping workout to completely dehydrate myself. So
I thought you were going to say you did an enema.
No.
A hardcore
no, not that.
Enema.
No, no. I just...
A super hardcore enema.
Or did he like...
Sweating.
Like headstand, upside down enema.
Or he drank that jug of stuff for the colonoscopy.
Yeah.
But didn't have a colonoscopy. He just
yeah,
wanted
just
the flush.
I got the black market stuff, you know. So yeah, like I just did not want to be getting up since the bus left at 12:50. I wanted to try to sleep, and I didn't want to have to be like getting up and having to pee all night long. And
right.
on that front, it worked. Like I sipped on water the entire evening, and I never went to the bathroom once. And then you realize that you stop so much that you don't ever have to go back there. If you don't absolutely have to go back there. So here's what you will find on Greyhound bus bathroom. It is
okay.
It's tinier than an airplane bathroom. Like you look at the back and you think, how do they even fit a bathroom back there? It looks so small. And this particular bathroom, and it's kind of set up a lot like an airplane bathroom, but this particular bathroom has one fatal flaw. And that fatal flaw is the door doesn't shut.
Oh, no.
That seems
by
like
by design or by malfunction?
Yeah.
Certainly not by design.
There's a major malfunction. To where you cannot shut the door. Matter of fact, not only it doesn't shut, it swings open. And so you have to, with one hand, hold the door as you're going wee-wee, I guess, or bad bathroom.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe if you're going bad bathroom, stretch your foot out to put it underneath the doorknob to keep it from opening up. So yeah, it's
or maybe just have Young Vibe run interference out there.
Yeah,
tell him it's occupied.
Yeah, it's wow. It's not good. But I will say this. I'll say this, and I'm going to give them a lot of credit. Very clean. Like,
very clean.
This has been a 16-hour trip, and it looks really good. Either we have very courteous busgoers, or they're always this clean. I'm not sure.
And let's not forget the catered burritos earlier in the trip.
Yeah, running a little bit of a risk there.
That doesn't always go hand in hand with clean bathrooms. You know what I'm saying?
And these weren't just any burritos. These were big burritos. And there were 60 of them, and they are gone, all of them. So that was an interesting move. Here, Buff.
Yeah, if you were going to totally design the playbook here, that would have perhaps been a wrong turn, but looks like he got away with it. And once again, Big Bus has told us nothing but clean bathrooms, Dave.
Well, I mean, it sounds like
it's a preferred method of transportation.
Well, those two things may go hand in hand, Corby. Maybe the best way to keep a bathroom perfectly clean is to not have a door, or to not have a door that closes all the way.
Yeah, that way nobody goes in and uses it.
That's right. Nobody has the confidence to just sort of sit there and look at you as you open up the door. All right. Well, listen, that's a exclusive report that only AM radio could provide at this hour. So thank you.
Right.
Sturm Center. And that was lovely.